This is Kindergarten Cop, and today I will be reading from the Iroquois County Times Republic. And I'm going to start out today, this is from the January 15th, 2026 edition. I will be reading an article titled, Officials Continue to Work on Rural Transportation Issues, by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Iroquois County officials, along with officials in Ford and Livingston counties, are searching for the best solution for rural transportation in the area. The dilemma came January 2nd, which CRIS Rural Mass Transit District stopped operations abruptly. This comes on the heels of CRIS taking over for Showbus in the area in September, after it also abruptly stopped operations. In the meantime, Iroquois County officials said it will be at least 30 days until we can find a temporary solution, giving us time to explore a permanent solution to the issue of reliable and dependable public transportation we have had in the past. In the meantime, the board is putting out a call to the social services, churches, organizations, and citizens to help one another fill the void. If you or any entity you are involved with or can refer to us is willing and able to assist, please contact Monty Andrews at 815-844-7741 to add your name to a list of those available to provide transportation. If you need a ride, please call Monty Andrews at the same number. Monty will try to assist you with your transportation needs. Finally, the Iroquois County Board is making a plea for all of us to step up and help our neighbors, friends, and family in need. If you know someone who is affected by the loss of public transportation, offer to drive them to an appointment, pick up groceries, or whatever will fill the void. Let's stand proud as Iroquois County residents and be neighbors helping neighbors. The transportation stoppage has been difficult for many residents and caregivers. A January 7th meeting in Pontiac saw officials from all three counties meeting with Illinois Department of Transportation and other representatives. Andrews is the Program Compliance and Oversight Monitor for PCOM for Iroquois, Ford, and Livingston counties. State Senator Chris Balkema and State Representative Jason Bunting were also present. Iroquois County Board members Paul Ducat, Donna Crow, and Lyle Behrens were present. Alina Hartley, Executive Director, Livingston County Board Office, conducted the meeting. We are here today based off the sudden dissolution of CRIS Rural Mass Transit District. We received official notice from CRIS at 12:53 p.m. on Friday, January 2nd, that as of 6:30 p.m., they would no longer offer rides in Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties, Hartley said. She also read a public statement from IDOT. The Illinois Department of Transportation is committed to providing safe, reliable transit for all communities in Illinois while remaining responsible stewards of the public's funds. For more than a year, we have been working with the district and local officials, including attending board meetings and meeting in person to address several outstanding serious matters and keep service running in Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties. We have been very clear at all times about what steps have been needed to make sure federal and state regulations were followed. Going forward, all options are being explored to make sure this important service continues with minimal interruption. Andrews said, "We are well aware the situation we are in is frustrating, but it is no way the fault of any of the county board members of Ford or Iroquois counties. Each and every one of those board members has been extremely dedicated in trying to ensure that the best rural transportation possible is available to everyone in Ford and Iroquois counties. We have also steady support from Senator Balkema and Representative Bunting, who continually ask us what they can do to help, especially in the area of funding for rural transportation. He said, "We are prioritizing arranging rides for those who attend critical weekly medical appointments, such as those needing dialysis." He said getting on-demand rural transportation will, quote, take some time. He said two residents in Iroquois County have expressed desire in starting a carrier. He said he referred them to IDOT officials. Any carrier would have to have the approval of the county being served and IDOT. Christine McTaggart, executive director of the ARC, attended the call January 7th of the Rural Transportation Committee. McTaggart said of that meeting, quote, "We had just signed a contract with Chris right before Thanksgiving to run our out-of-town routes to being participants outside Watseka to our day program. We have taken on in-house the transportation of individuals that live within Watseka. We are very frustrated by this. It has made the transportation component of our day program much more expensive. Showbus had charged 75 cents for an in-town ride and $1.50 for a ride from outside Watseka. CRIS almost tripled that charge. This is the second time in, 4 months that we've learned on a Friday afternoon that effective close of business, we were on our own for transportation. We are fortunate that families have been graceful in helping out when they can, and when they can't, it adds to the workload of our staff." At the meeting of the Rural Transportation Board January 7th in Pontiac, one of the issues that the board discussed was dialysis patients and getting them to and from those appointments. McTaggart said that this is just one component of the transportation loss. Dialysis is certainly life or death, and definitely at the top of the list to solve, but there are also negative consequences to the population we serve. If folks are unable to be transported to our program, they sit at home and lose social interaction and any progress on skills they were working on in our program. It's a hardship to parents as well, who may have to take time off work or find someone to watch their adult child. That places stress on the family. We also have about 20 people who live on their own in the community and depended on Showbus CRIS to get them to the grocery store, medical appointments, etc. We currently have 23 open shifts, so we don't have any extra staff to drive them to these things. We've worked out short-term solutions to handle transportation ourselves as best as we can, but it definitely adds financial stress to our agency and work stress to our staff and needless anxiety to the people we support. We don't understand why IDOT pulled Chris's funding so soon after approving them. I just wanted to share our perspective as an agency that has no one needing dialysis, that there are other vital aspects and impacts. David Schaefer of IDOT said in the January 7th meeting, they had been working with Chris and are dedicated to getting the transportation resolved and that the solution meets all the requirements. He said the amount of insurance and upfront costs that it takes to start a transit service is very high, and the state will not and cannot give up front advance to those. The reason for that is the downstate operating program is a reimbursement only program. The Rural Transportation Committee agreed to continue to look at the issue and work on corrective actions. Balkama and Bunting said that they were there to help from the state perspective. The group agreed to keep working on the issue and making information public as it comes up. Early voting schedule announced. Iroquois County Clerk Brian Suver has announced the March 17th primary election early voting schedule. Early voting for Iroquois County registered voters will be at the County Clerk's Office, 1001 East Grant, Watseka, February 5th through March 16th. The office is open weekdays from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. The office will also be open March 14th from 8:30 a.m. to noon. This early voting site serves all 37 precincts. Please note, county offices will be closed February 12th and February 16th. Beat the Winter Blues at Watseka Public Library by the Watseka Public Library staff. Looking for something to do to beat these winter blues? Join us as we embark on a new adventure as the library transforms into Jurassic Park on Saturday, January 31st from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. with the help of our dinosaur friends. Come along with our dinosaur rangers and see your favorite dinosaurs from 60 million years ago. Learn some cool facts about all of the dinosaurs as you play games, work on crafts, and participate in fun dino-themed activities. Dino Wrangler Maddie can't wait to see you there to have a dino-mite time. Our Ladies Night Out Book Club will meet once again this month on January 20th at 5 p.m. We will be reading Once Upon a Wardrobe by Patty Callahan Henry, a historical novel about a young Oxford student, Megs Devonshire, who seeks the origins of Narnia for her dying younger brother, George, leading her to C.S. Lewis and a journey into the power of stories, imagination, and sibling love. The book blends fact and fiction, exploring the real-life inspiration behind The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe through a poignant story about family, loss, and the magic of literature. Come join our teen book club as we delve into a literary classic, Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth Bennet and the wealthy, proud Mr. Darcy, whose initial mutual dislike, fueled by his arrogance and her prejudice, slowly transforms into love as they both overcome their flaws. We will meet on January 20th at 4 p.m. to discuss what we've read and follow with a showing of the Pride and Prejudice movie. Stop into the library to sign up and check out a copy of the book. Stop in and check out the teen bulletin board in the YA room. We have a monthly teen craft and information about our upcoming events like Teen Advisory Board and Dungeons and Dragons. The January craft is a pom-pom snowman. You can make it at the library or take it home. All drop-in and take-home crafts are available while supplies last. The week of January 19th, there's a kids drop-in craft, hot cocoa. Tuesday, January 20th, preschool story time, Jurassic, 10 a.m. Tuesday, January 20th, ladies night out book club, 5 p.m. Wednesday, January 21st, preschool story time, Jurassic, 10 a.m. Week of January 26th, kids drop-in craft, hot cocoa. Wednesday, January 28th, Baby Book Club, 10 a.m., and Saturday, January 31st, Jurassic January Family Fun Day. Looking at schools, Milford Club Raises Funds at Basketball Game by Cami Muehling. On January 9th, the FCS Club at Milford High School gave out soup and salad to all students, parents, coaches, and anyone else who attended the Milford boys basketball game against Hoopston. The FCS club gave out chili, ham and turkey sandwiches, potato and bacon soup, and Texas flat cake and vanilla cake for dessert. The FCS club took donations and altogether raised over $700. Bakken New Vice Chairman of County Board by Carla Waters, Managing Editor. Jamie Bakken was named the new Vice Chairman of the Iroquois County Board January 13th. The seat was left after Scott Watts passed away unexpectedly in December. I am very honored to be elected Vice Chairman of the Iroquois County Board, Bakken said via phone. I am extremely thankful for the encouragement from Chairman Paul Duquette to embrace this opportunity, and the full support of the board means a great deal to me. I want to acknowledge the legacy of former Vice Chairman Scott Watts, who passed away unexpectedly and previously held the position. I have very big shoes to fill. Scott Watts was an amazing leader and a role model to many. I truly loved working with him, and we shared many of the same values and beliefs. I had so much more to learn from him, and his leadership will be deeply missed. One of my top priorities will be working closely with Chairman Ducat on reorganizing board committees. With Scott's passing, there are committees that need leadership, and now more than ever, it is important that we utilize the strengths of all board members. In addition to committee restructuring, the board will also continue to focus on several key issues, including rural transportation and renewable energy matters such as wind, solar, and battery projects. Bakken was seated to a 4-year term on December 1, 2024. Her current roles include Chairman of the Management Committee, Vice Chairman of the Zoning and Planning Committee, and an active member of the Highway Committee and the Tri-County, Livingston, Ford, and Iroquois Rural Transportation Committee. I look forward to continuing to serve the residents of Iroquois County and working collaboratively with my fellow board members to address the challenges and opportunities ahead, she said. Looking at obituaries, Marietta Lou Gellinger, age 95, formerly of Crescent City, passed away on Wednesday, January 7th, at Arcadia Healthcare Center in Watseka, Illinois. Cremation rites will be accorded by Bear Funeral Home in Watseka and a private graveside service at Flesher Cemetery, Crescent City, Illinois, will be held at a later date. Memorials made to Crescent City Methodist Church or Iroquois County Hospice. Please share a memory of Marietta at www.bearfuneralhome.com. County Board Chairman reflects on 2025, looks to 2026. Editor's note. The Times Republic annually asks some key area officials questions about how the previous year went and what they see for the future. This is one of several stories that will appear in the next few weeks. They all were asked the same questions. This one is from Iroquois County Board Chairman Paul Ducat. Thank you for sending me this list and giving me the opportunity to speak on behalf of Iroquois County and the County Board. 1. What would you say is the greatest accomplishment for 2025 for Iroquois County and why? I believe we had a fantastic 2025, and the big wins for us in Iroquois was the opportunity to have all the board members to have a voice, to speak on their districts and tell the members the real struggles within their districts. The board finally had the ability to work together as a team. Having that made for a fantastic team. The opportunity to have members work together in unity to put together overwhelming ordinances to protect the land and people of Iroquois from the land grab by the governor of solar, wind, and battery storage. I thank Doug Geiger for all our meetings to make that happen. Another huge win was the work by my friend, Vice Chairman Scott Watts. He was instrumental in helping get a grip on the finance department, and we were able to go with one of the lowest raises in taxes for the county. I believe the people come first, and that should always happen. Scott Watts will be greatly missed by all. 2. What are the biggest challenges facing Iroquois County in 2026? The biggest challenge the board has in 2026 is filling the board with qualified individuals to step up and put the time in to work to make Iroquois County better and to protect Iroquois County and the people from frivolous laws such as the Safety Act or gun control or trying to take away ordinances we put in to protect Iroquois County and the farmland from being destroyed by greed from politicians that don't even live here. 3. What were other highlights for Iroquois County in 2025? I'm proud of the members of the Iroquois County Board for working together. I'm happy to see conversations and most working to do better for the people. At the end, that is what makes me happy. 4. What do you see as some of the major projects for Iroquois County in 2026? Some of the major projects coming in 2026 is filling the losses of members that were instrumental in making Iroquois County better, Scott Watts and Doug Geiger. Also helping Ford County with the retirement of Greg Perkinson. We will be sharing our engineer Alan Harwood, like Ford County did with us. The knowledge Greg had will be missed by all. I personally had the chance to work with Greg when we lost County Engineer Joel Moore. Joel was an asset to Iroquois County and a friend to all. Both Joel and Greg showed me and others how to understand the budget and what is needed to understand how the state works with the Transportation Department. One last thing will always be to keep the taxes low. 5. What would you most like the public to know about? This job as chairman has been a lot on me. I'm putting in another 30 plus hours a week with meetings, running numbers, personnel, etc. to keep the tax dollars for the county fiscally low. I took on this opportunity because long ago, as a Boy Scout, I knew I wanted to serve the people and do my civic duty to do better for my community. I just didn't think I'd be where I'm at today. I'm proud to be here today to make Iroquois County better, and I thank you, the people of Iroquois County, for the opportunity. 6. What can residents, local leaders, business leaders, and others do to help Iroquois County? We need to step up and help out each other and the little guy, the ones who quietly make Iroquois County better. The kids, with giving them recognition and letting them know we are proud of them. I have started and will continue to do this every month. My plan is to continue this until my time is done. Our young adults who step up need to be recognized. They are the future of Iroquois County and beyond. Watseka Park District Planning Senior Collective for March 24th. The Watseka Park District is planning a senior collective for March 24th at the Park District Building. The event will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 110 South 2nd Street. The newly remodeled building offers easy access and offers no restrictions to those with limited mobility, according to information from the Park District. The senior collective is geared for those 55 and older with a goal of informing attendees about the opportunities and services available that they might not be aware of but potentially need. The opportunities and services at the event will be health-related, financial, or simply something to make life easier. I am so excited with the interest that we have seen from businesses that want to make our seniors more aware, said Sherry Johnson, Park District Executive Director. I have received several responses to showcase many helpful things for seniors, and that shows how important our senior community is to everyone. This event will be free for attendees, and there will be several door prizes available to register for. Anyone interested in showcasing beneficial items for seniors can contact the Watseka Park District for more information. There will be more information regarding the event in the weeks to come, but Park District staff encourage people to put a save the date on their calendars for the Watseka Park District Senior Collective from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. March 24th. Uplifted Care plans Beating the Winter Blues event. The public is invited to join us for the Beating the Winter Blues Grief Workshop January 24th from 10 to 11:30 a.m. at the Uplifted Care Community Grief Center, 3115 North 1000 West Road, Bourbonnais. The cold winter months contribute to isolation and can be especially difficult for those struggling with grief emotions. Our Beating the Winter Blues Grief Workshop is intended for individuals ages 12 and over and will focus on dealing with winter sadness due to grief. Participants will learn some valuable techniques such as meditation, self-care, and refocus to help them feel brighter during the cold, dark months of winter. All workshop materials and light refreshments will be provided. Registration is required to attend. To register for this free grief workshop or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call the office today at 815-939-4141. Stories of the Season Uplifted Care Community Grief Center offers something for everyone at any stage of their grief journey. All services are completely free of charge. Please see the full list of support groups and the schedule below. Grief support groups are held weekly unless noted below. Mondays, Loss of a Parent or Sibling, 10 a.m. Finding Your New Normal, 10 a.m. Grief Walk and Talk, 12 p.m. Meet at Perry Farm, weather permitting. Tuesdays, Women's Grief Group, 10 a.m., 11:30 a.m., Spousal Loss, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Wednesdays, Moving Through Grief Yoga, 10 a.m., third Wednesday of each month, Child Loss, 4 p.m., first and third Wednesday of each month, Pregnancy Infant Loss, second and fourth Wednesday of the month, Thursdays, Grief Book Club, fourth Thursday each month, Saturdays, Monthly Kids Hour, 12 p.m., third Saturday of the month, January, February, April, May, June, July, August, and November. All groups are completely free of charge and registration is required. To register for the free support group or for more information on all of our grief support services, please call our office today at 815-939-4141. Annual research-backed training yields results for fruit tree growers. Growing fruit on trees is a rewarding experience, but it comes with challenges. From pests and disease to climate stress or soil issues, a single mistake can set back growth. Growers can get current research-based information to help their fruit trees thrive at the Southwestern Illinois Commercial Tree Fruit School on February 12th in Hardin, according to information provided. This year's program will cover topics on current trends in insect and disease management, including peach and apple diseases, updates from Professor and Faculty Extension Specialist Mohammed Babadoust, Integrated Pest Management and Fruit Trees with Specialty Crops Entomologist Casey Athey, and the Weather Hazard Forecast Project from Illinois State Climatologist Trent Ford. Industry representatives will also be on hand to talk about their latest products and services. The 2026 Southwestern Illinois Commercial Tree Fruit School will take place on February 12, 2026 at the Barefoot Restaurant, 106 South Water Street, Hardin, 62047. There will be no afternoon presentations, and the program will conclude after lunch. A registration fee includes lunch and one copy of the Midwest Fruit Pest Management Guide. For more information or to register, go to go.illinois.edu/treefruitschool. Attendance is $35 per person for advanced registration by February 4th. Registration after February 4th or at the door is $50 per person. If you have questions or if you will need a reasonable accommodation to participate in this program, please contact horticulture educator Ken Johnson. Early requests are strongly encouraged to allow sufficient time to meet access needs.